This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. Is there any benefit to Catholic rituals and sacraments? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. He's also one of the co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Mike, welcome.
Good to be with you again, Tom. Happy New Year.
You too. Before we get to our ongoing study of the book of Galatians, Mike, I've heard, and I know you have as well, as former Roman Catholics, which we both are, Roman Catholicism has been referred to as the Galatian heresy. Now, what does that mean?
Well, the Galatian heresy is the heresy of the false gospel of the Judaizers. Mm-hmm. They came into the Galatian churches preaching Jesus. They believed that Jesus died for their sins and was the triune God, but they also said you must be circumcised in order to be saved. And so the heresy was adding something to the gospel of grace. And Paul said, if you believe any other gospel, you've believed in vain. And so he issued a condemnation on the Judaizers for perverting the gospel.
Mm-hmm. So they were turning to rules and regulations, rituals, and all of that to really gain eternal life, to sort of finish off what Jesus didn't accomplish, according to that perspective, so they might attain eternal life. But it's a heresy, and it's damnable. Paul called those who would believe such a gospel accursed, and he said it more than once, didn't he?
Well, he did. In fact, the law and grace are mutually exclusive. If you choose to gain heaven by obeying the law, then you must obey it perfectly. And, of course, only the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And so none of us can live perfectly, and that's why God issues grace to all those who will believe in his Son. He gives eternal life as a free gift by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a first-time listener, joined our program for the first time, it's called According to God's Word. And well, Mike's on with me, and we've been doing this program for well over a couple of years now. The heart, our heart is to present what the Word of God says. You know, not Mike's opinion, not my opinion. We may present these things, but we want you to check us out. And it's simple to do. All you have to do is go to God's Word. And in this particular case, go to the book of Galatians in the New Testament of your Bible. Mike, we're going to pick up with chapter 5 and verse 14, and I'll read it, and if you've got a thought about it, we want to hear it. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, Mike, you know, again, both of us growing up Roman Catholic, our way of going about things was to do according to the rules, to try your hardest to do what the Church taught you to do, and certainly many of the things the Church presented with from the Bible, yet it just never worked out. Not that we couldn't at some time, but you couldn't sustain this, could you?
Well, and the reason being, Tom, is because as Roman Catholics, we were still unredeemed. We didn't have the Holy Spirit that was sealing us and dwelling us or empowering us to live a godly life. And so we were totally frustrated trying to obey the law in the flesh. We failed miserably. And what Paul is saying here now, he's speaking to Christians, you that have the Spirit of God in you, you now have the power within yourself to say no to sin and to live a godly life. And so what he's doing is he's summing up the whole law with one word, and that is love. if you look at the law, the Mosaic law and the Ten Commandments, you see the first three of the commandments refer to our relationship with God, and then the next seven refer to our relationship with our fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is saying that you can sum up the law with the one word, love. And through love, you can serve one another. If you love people, you'll not steal from them, you'll not lie to them, you won't envy them, you won't hurt them in any way. So what Paul is saying here is that through love, empowered by the Spirit, you have a substitute for the law.
Mike, there are terms that the Scripture lays out that maybe people are not familiar with or really don't understand. And I think it'd be very helpful to our listeners if we gave them an explanation. For example, when the Bible talks about flesh, you and I were made up of a body that has flesh. What's the problem there? Or is there another understanding we need to have?
Yeah, the Bible refers to our flesh as our sin nature. We were actually conceived in sin. And so at the moment of conception, we had this sin nature that was passed down from Adam. And so we were born sinners. We didn't become sinners because we sinned. That was our nature from the very beginning of conception. And so it's this sin nature that has control over us until we receive the Spirit of God. And that's why the Bible often refers to the unregenerate man as being a slave to unrighteousness.
And when we look at other scriptures that address this, it really becomes clear. One of the things that we would encourage to all of our listeners, especially if you've not gotten into the habit of reading the Bible, maybe you're not familiar with it, but the Bible is a wonderful book. It's God's Word. It's a revelation of His truth. It has to be our authority. We're either going to understand things as God lays it out, or the only other option is man's opinions, and we want to go with what God's Word teaches. But in going through God's Word, you will find, especially when you first begin, where you don't understand something, the more you read, God addresses different subjects throughout the Scripture. So as you read God's Word, there's reinforcement, there's a confirmation in terms of your understanding, there's a better explanation if you don't understand it in one context or in one part of the Bible. It really defines itself, doesn't it, Mike?
Well, it really does. And in fact, in the context of the verses we're looking at this morning, you know, we're seeing the two extremes in Christian living. We see that this whole book of Galatians is about Christian liberty. We have liberty in Christ. We're free from the punishment of sin. We're free from the power of sin. We're free from the law's demands and threats. You know, Christ bore the curse of the law, and so we're no longer under it, the threat of the law. But you know what? When you tell Christians that, especially carnal Christians, then they have the tendency to do whatever they want because they have been saved for all eternity. And so you have the two extremes. You have license and you have legalism. And legalism can be defined as when you impose the law on someone else because you see that they have this license to sin. Well, Christian liberty is really a balance between the two. It's showing your awareness that God has saved you, and so you live your life wanting to please Him, to do the things that are pleasing to God, and to avoid the things that are displeasing to Him. And the motivation is love, love and gratitude for all that God has done for us. We see in Jude verse 4 that there is a false kind of grace. In many of our seeker-friendly churches today, that's what they're preaching, a false grace. They turn the grace of God into a license for immorality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no mention of God's holiness or His exhortation for Christians to be holy. And so many Christians now have this freedom, a license for immorality because of this false type of grace. Mm-hmm. I think Paul gives the true example of grace in Titus 2. He says, the same grace that brought you salvation teaches you to say no to ungodliness, no to worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright life.
Yeah, so we have salvation in Christ. It's a done deal. But if a person thinks then they can live their life any way they want, they've really rejected what Christ has accomplished for them. And they really ought to test themselves to see that they're in the faith, because our heart and our motivation as new creatures in Christ cannot be. Not that we don't stumble from time to time, but certainly our life can't continue to be something that's the antithesis of what Christ has accomplished for us.
Well, Tom, you mentioned the key word there as we deal with Roman Catholics, motivation. What is the motivation for the way you live? As you know, when you and I were Catholics, our motivation to obey the law was to gain entrance into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we placed ourselves under the law, which is a curse. Well, the proper motivation for a Christian is to obey the law out of love and gratitude for what God has already done for us. He's already saved us. And so our lives should then exemplify the love and gratitude and appreciation for all that God has done for us.
Right, and we're not left to our own devices. This is what you mentioned earlier, Mike. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives within us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and He enables us, empowers us to live a life that is pleasing to God. That which we couldn't do according to the flesh, pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps and getting after something. Yes, we need a heart and an attitude to desire to do God's will, but we're powerless to do it except by His Spirit. Mike, earlier you talked about Christians who are living a carnal life. Well, again, what does that mean? It means that they are not walking by the Spirit as we're exhorted to by the Scriptures. We're not turning our lives over to Christ. We're trying to do things in the flesh, or we're leaning to the pleasures of sin and letting that take control of our lives. Now, Romans 8, I want to go through verses 1 to 9, and I think our listeners will get a better understanding about this battle that we are in. As believers, okay, if you don't know Christ, if you really haven't received Him as Lord and Savior, then you're left to only what you can bring to the program, which will fall way short. You cannot achieve anything in the flesh that's pleasing to God. But verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of his." It's a spiritual battle, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It's a spiritual battle. It's a war between the Spirit and the flesh. And Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I want to do, I don't." And so it's this constant battle, and that's why the exhortation in verse 16, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." And the Greek word there for walk refers to a continuous action. It's a habitual lifestyle that we walk moment by moment by the Spirit. And Paul says, if you do that, then you won't submit to the desires of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And again, this was Paul's great concern about the Galatians. They began in the Spirit. They had the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But now they were trying to perfect themselves. They were trying to live a life of rules and regulations and rituals, and it just it brought them down, didn't it?
Well, and you know what it does, Tom? It produces pride. A person who walks by the flesh tries to live a righteous life in his own power. It produces pride and self-righteousness. Whereas if you walk by the Spirit, you give all the glory to God, because it's the Spirit working through you that empowers you to live a life pleasing to God.
Amen.
You're listening to According to God's Word. a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, this listener writes, I listen to your program from time to time, and I'm not sure what the attraction is. Maybe it's like being drawn to the aftermath of a car wreck. I'm curious, even hopeful, that there may be some signs of life, but when there is, you guys always seem to squash it with your anti-Catholic diatribes. As an evangelical, my exhortation to you is try to major in charity toward our Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I think that's a good exhortation. I certainly don't want to act anything less than charitable. But there's another issue here, and that is, I think charity has to do with if somebody has a false idea about how they're going to gain eternal life, and they've dedicated their lives to it, yet it's erroneous. Not according to my opinion, and not according to yours, Mike, but according to what we should hold to be our authority, and that is God's Word, what God's Word says.
So true. I would hope that the attraction of this listener to the program is the proclamation of God's Word. But when you look at his response to what we do, you know, you really have to define what charity is. It's defined as love, as goodwill and kindness and helping others. So surely this listener would consider that speaking the truth in love to those who have been deceived is indeed an act of charity. It wouldn't be love if we allowed people to march proudly toward hell's gate without intervening, without lovingly confronting them in their error. I think that's the greatest disservice we can do to anyone, is to know that they are believing a false gospel and let them continue on their way. What a tragedy.
Yeah. And all we're trying to do is present what we believe to be God's Word on this matter, the subject of eternal life, the subject of salvation. If we err here or there, well, our encouragement for our listeners, check us out. Go to the Scriptures. See if what we're saying is true to God's Word or not. Now, Mike, my other problem with this is, and it's a growing problem, you and I have been involved in witnessing to, ministering to Roman Catholics for years. And we would expect, hope, that fellow evangelical, those who hold the Bible to be God's Word, as an evangelical, what other source are you going to have? It's the evangelist. It's a matter of proclaiming the gospel, and the gospel is found in God's Word. So my concern here, Mike, is that we have, this is not a Roman Catholic who's upset by what we're saying. You know, there are many of those out there, but there are also those who listen to the program and are open-minded. They say, okay, these guys, we may not agree with what they're saying, but they're encouraging us to check out what they're saying. But this is an evangelical.
I know, and Tom, oftentimes we find evangelicals that are so ignorant of what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, and it's people like you and me that actually live the lie. We lived through this darkness of deception that we come out of knowing truth from error. And so we just want to help others. And I know if the roles were reversed, if we were still Roman Catholics, we would want to hear the truth and we would want to have the error exposed to us so that we could have eternal life. So I would just hope this listener considers that our ministry is a ministry of love. We have a great compassion for those who are still where we were, believing we were on our way to heaven, but yet destined for a Christless eternity.
Mike, you shared something before we went on the air. You mentioned that you're teaching in a very large church in the Dallas area, and the church was involved with prayers with Roman Catholic priests since, what, 9/11?
Right.
And the priest wanted to check you out, and he was concerned when he heard that you were going to be teaching there, teaching a series there. He wanted to check you out. Can you give us a little bit of that background, Mike?
Well, yeah, I was just amazed that the pastor of this church would want to run my material by a Catholic priest to find out if it was indeed accurate.
But that's not a bad idea, is it?
Well, I encouraged him to set up a lunch meeting with the priest, and the three of us could go, and we could discuss the biblical gospel with the gospel of the Roman Catholic Church. And that way he would have an idea of the contrasting type of teaching that I was going to be doing but the priest refused to meet with us for lunch. And so I just hope over this next six-week course that I'm teaching that the priest would come in and that he would see that he's walking in error and he'd come to know Jesus mm-hmm. as the all-sufficient Savior.
Yeah. But short of that, Mike, at least that he would understand that you are not trying to misrepresent the Roman Catholic Church and its teachings and the sources that you use, with everything from the Catholic Catechism to teachings of their councils to...
Well, sure, Tom. In fact, when he asked what I would be teaching, I told him I would be teaching the Catechism and the Bible and showing the contrast between the two. That would be my source material. It's very objective. I leave my subjective opinions out.
Mm-hmm. And that's our encouragement to those who listen to the program who are evangelicals. First and foremost, you have to come to an understanding objectively from Catholic resources what Roman Catholics believe. You see, because we're really, this is futile and vain and I mean just stupid if there are no clear differences, if we're just sort of nitpicking over this issue or that issue, then we are to be condemned.
But, Tom, the differences are so great. The difference between biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism is the difference between heaven and hell. And I use the example, you know, a telephone number is comprised of 10 numbers. You can get 9 of the 10 numbers right and miss one number, and you won't make your connection. It's the same way with the gospel. Unless you get the gospel right, you have believed in vain. If you add one thing to the gospel, or if you take one thing away from the gospel, you've missed it. And this is why we have this ministry, mm-hmm. is to point people to the true and pure gospel, the one that we're to earnestly contend for.
Yeah. Now, for those out there who are Roman Catholics and understand, it's a very complex system. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. On the other hand, the gospel is very simple. A child can receive the gospel and understand it. So we're not talking about rocket science here. We're talking about a gospel, which is God's gospel, that he presents and that we must receive. And the understanding of it, again, a child can receive it. Mike, lay it out for us.
Well, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Paul summarizes it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. He says it's according to the scriptures, and it's the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, in his resurrection. So it's the life and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the means to reconcile sinners to God. We must believe that Jesus is the eternal God, born of a virgin, became a man to die for sinners as their substitute. And when he died, he paid the complete penalty, which means that if you trust Jesus, you must forsake any belief in purgatory, indulgences, good works, self-righteousness, the continuous repetitious sacrifice of the Mass, all these must be forsaken when you put all of your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Because all those things reject and deny the finished work of Christ. Again,
it's another gospel.
We go back to the epistle to the Galatians, and that's what we're going through. But throughout the scriptures you find you are saved by grace through faith. Faith, it's believing in what he did, accepting, putting your trust in him, not in a church, not in an organization, not in an institution, not in a ritual, in Jesus alone, by faith alone.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0603. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. and we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.